direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, we'd like to, before we begin today on Abounding Grace, opening up again John chapter 6, this very exciting chapter. We'd like to, if you have been enjoying what you're hearing in these radio broadcasts on the Gospel of John, we will be having a whole series of lectures where I will be lecturing in Canada. So you have the opportunity and are given the personal invite to come and to join us for those lectures at the Reformed Bible College, a winter course that I'll be teaching for 12 weeks, beginning January 13 at 7:30 p.m. on Thursday nights. What else could you be doing on Thursday nights? Come out. Let's learn about the Gospel of John together. Love to meet you. That'll be at the Aldergrove Canadian Reformed Church. It is a course, so you have to register. That web address is rbcollege.com. Again, that's www.rbcollege.com. Well, let's take up again where we left off yesterday in John chapter 6. And there Jesus says something that we cannot get away from, that is extremely powerful and explains why so many are following and will not come to him that they may have life. Jesus says in John 6, verse 43, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." What a verse. How do you read that, dear radio listener? I can tell you how many want to read it. Many Christians say, well, that's unfair. So what's the general teaching today in the church? And keep in mind, you know, what this then births out of their theology. Your theology affects your practice. You know, think of how this affects altar calls and how we end up manipulating people to get them into the kingdom, to get them to sign a card, to get them to do something. Think about this. They teach God draws everyone, and then only those who come by their own free will, who make the decision to come, are those who are given life. That's free will doctrine. Now, why is free will doctrine absolutely wrong and false and a total abuse of Scripture? Now, I guess it's important to say we have free will in terms of what our natures are. If you're dead in trespasses and sins, you don't have free will with regard to spiritual things. You have a free will to sin. So you still have a free will in that regard. You're either slave of sin or slave of righteousness. You're not in the middle. That's what Romans 6 says. You're one or the other. So why is this idea that with regard to righteousness, you're neutral, you have a free will, a total abuse of Scripture? Well, the simple answer to that is that it presupposes that if people are brought to Jesus, they have the ability to come to him. The very thing Jesus is saying is that the ability to come is dependent upon the Father bringing them. This whole chapter is showing us the total inability of sinners to come. Jesus explains how it all works in verse 65. He raises the issue of Judas and says that he knew he would betray him. And Jesus follows up and says, "Therefore I've said to you, no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." So the coming is not of your own free will. The coming is itself dependent on the Father. Now, I want you to think carefully again about verse 44. Everyone says today, well, God doesn't force anyone into the kingdom. Verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." The word for draw is interesting. It means to drag. It has a sense of completely and totally dependent on the Father doing the work of bringing you to the Son. And if he doesn't do that, you won't come. And if he does, you'll come. Now, I left off yesterday. You have the heir on one side that says, "I won't accept that." Gave the example of the pastor who was preaching on this doctrine of election. Woman walked up after he had taught and says, "I don't get it. can't wrap my mind around that. I just struggle to believe that. And he says, well, ma'am, you go on in your struggle. You know, be patient, be teachable. Then after a while, she came back after she heard him further teach on this and says, you know what? I see it, but I refuse to believe it. Then he said, ma'am, I'm very concerned for the state of your soul. A Christian doesn't say those things. A Christian accepts the word of God. If we see it clearly and we understand that's what's being taught, you don't have the right to reject it. But then that's the first danger, the free will doctrine, that's the ditch. And then you got the ditch on the other side of even some Reformed people, hyper-Calvinists, who end up denying the call of the gospel. Because they say, well, if God has his elect, then what does it matter anyway? What an awful danger, an ugly danger. That creates just hard people. Frozen Chosen, as the name is appropriately called. Listen, when Christ gave the call, he said, come. He came to the multitudes and he said, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Come, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. That's our message. Come to Christ. Believe in Christ. I know that no one can do that unless that's given to them by the Father, but that's the Father's business. My job is to say, come. Now, I know what's on your minds today, dear radio listener. That doesn't help us ultimately understand. I get that you get that you must be brought. You get that you cannot come unless this happens. But what about all these artificial followers of Christ who themselves are following and have not really come? How do I know that I've really come? Well, it's pretty obvious in this chapter who hasn't come. Their lives are characterized by bitterness, complaining, fighting, hatred, and ultimately departure. I was noticing on the news in Vancouver, a couple, a Hollywood couple, are seeking asylum. They've been diagnosed with this, at least it's in the articles, called folie à deux. It's called the madness of the two, where these two feed one another, and everyone's against them, no one listens to them, and they take a separatist mentality. They depart from society with this sort of angry, bitter spirit of folie à deux. I believe the text is showing us people like this. The sad irony is, you can leave the church without physically departing. Get that? You can depart in the heart without walking away. You can distance yourself. People like this have not come. I love what Jesus is doing here and what he says at this point, because what he's doing for you is explaining how true coming occurs. He cites something out of the prophets, Isaiah 54, 13. In verse 45, Jesus says, first says, don't murmur. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then he cites this. It's written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. They shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Oh, this is really good. He's explaining how coming someone comes. It's always been the case that Scripture told you that for anyone to come, they have to be taught by God. What is that? Well, it comes out of a few places. This is Isaiah 54, 13. All of your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. You know what the Lord will do for his children? He will teach them so that they have peace. What kind of peace? Peace between God and man. It's a life of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Remember Romans 14. Belonging to the kingdom of God is peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now think of these people in this chapter. Murmuring and fighting and departing. All of that stems from what? They don't know God. They've not been filled with him. They've not had the ability to hear and be taught by him. And Jesus is saying, you may not come, but all those given to me by my Father will be taught of him, and they will come. They will have the ability to hear and believe. This is what Jesus said in John 5. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not pass into judgment, but is passed from death into life. He was not saying, if you hear and believe, you'll live. Having life means that you're given the ability to hear and believe. What is the Father teaching his children? This is the very promise, dear friend, of the new covenant. This is the very promise that was made back in Jeremiah 31. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. Do you realize Jesus is citing this in John 6? They shall be taught by God as the fulfillment of that promise of the new covenant. It's in the now. The house of Israel, all those who believe are the Israel of God. This is the fulfillment of that promise. This is regeneration. Nicodemus, unless you're born from above, you cannot perceive the things of the kingdom of God. You don't have the ability to understand and know that which comes from heaven. God must give you that ability. He must teach you. He must give you the ability to understand spiritual things, the things of the Spirit, which Jesus says are spirit and life. I'm speaking spiritual things. God's children will know and learn from him and do what? Come to Jesus Christ. The promise of the new covenant is that we would know Christ. You see, in this very section, they're all saying, we know his parents. What does he mean that he came from heaven? They can't know him. But everyone who hears and has learned knows him. From the least of them to the greatest of them. And the Lord forgives their iniquity. What does that look like, dear radio listener? Remember what Jesus asked Peter? Who am I? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He's done that. He's taught you, Simon. God has done something for you. He's taught you. He's revealed me to you so that you would know me and that you would come to me. Do you see the beauty in this passage and all this darkness? You see, it ends with thousands walking away from Jesus. Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, do you also want to go away? Do you want to leave me? You know what Peter says? Lord, to whom shall we go? We can't imagine leaving you. You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you. We know you. You're the source of our life. Your words are life. We know and believe you are the Son of God. You can say that today. Your heart's been opened. God has dragged you to the Son, and you're living. So that's the question that we come back to over and over in John 6. Have you come? Come to the waters and drink. Come. Come freely. Let him who thirsts come. Dear radio listener, we thank you for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. We're always thankful to bring these broadcasts to you. We give you an invite to join us for worship at the Linden URC. 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. are the worship service times on the Lord's Day. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. 360-318-0429 is the phone number. So glad you've tuned in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.